Good morning. Welcome back to Today in the Wine Country, To Your Health. This is your host, Life Coach Dorothy Strike. And this half hour, I am joined by the author of Seven Sacred Attitudes, How to Live in the Richness of the Moment. Erica Ross Krieger is joining me, and I want to tell you a little bit about her. For more than 20 years, Erica has inspired people throughout the world to come to life more fully. Now, in her book, The Seven Sacred Attitudes, How to Live in the Richness of the Moment, she shows readers how to cultivate the attitudes that will lead them to live more joyful and meaningful lives. Erica, welcome.
Thank you, Dorothy. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for being here today. I really appreciate it. Erica had some really great news. She had a wonderful phone call this morning early from someone who had read her book last night. So she's feeling in quite good spirits to have had someone respond so positively to it.
I am at that.
I am. Right. It's great to have someone really like what we have done and have it mean something to us. So, Erica, you're a personal life coach and a business coach and a workshop facilitator and a writer. Talk to us about how you came to write this particular book.
Okay. Thanks, Dorothy. Let me start by saying the foundation of Seven Sacred Attitudes rests on key elements that you and all your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with in the field of well-being. And I came to those key elements over the course of a 20-year life education that was based on a wake-up call. And that wake-up call at the time came in the form of a health challenge and a car accident. And as many such wake-up calls do, it was the catalyst, became the catalyst for me to take a deep personal inner journey.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I studied with great teachers all over the world. I studied many modalities from nutrition school to Tai Chi and yoga, art therapy, and many other aspects of well-being, and also learned a lot as I was going along that about my own life and what was happening. And I realized that there were seven ways of being, for lack of a better word at the time, there were seven ways of being that I found that if I began to adopt them and practice them as a life practice, would help me live a richer and more meaningful life. And I began to gather stories and fables and pull them together that represented those seven ways of being, began to share them with clients, and I thought, I've got to put these in a book. But I didn't really have a word to describe what I meant by those seven ways of being.
Mm-hmm.
And I meant not only seven things that you think about, seven ways that you conceptualize life, but physical postures, actual ways of being. And we were at a barbecue, and a friend was telling us a story about getting the instrumentation rating for his airplane pilot's
mm-hmm.
license. And he mentioned that in one of his jobs when he took the test, which was to go up in the plane with the instructor, was to bring the plane back to balance after it went into what he called an unusual attitude. And I just about dropped my potato salad at that barbecue, and I said, what do you mean it went into an unusual attitude? I didn't know planes had attitudes. And he said, oh, yes, an attitude in airplane lingo means the relative position of the nose of the plane to the horizon. And if you start to bank the plane or turn the plane, we call that an unusual attitude, which means if you don't correct it soon, the plane will go into distress. And I thought, well, that's it. The word is attitude.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not, that these were seven attitudes I discovered, seven ways of being, but they also involved physical posture, and that if we were in unusual attitudes, opposite of these seven ways of being, that we would go into distress. And there the title of the book was born.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. And I often use the airplane analogy in terms of pilots constantly correcting to achieve balance and create safety. Why don't you tell us what those, just list the seven attitudes.
Okay, you want to hear all seven of them?
Yeah,
huh?
Let's just list them so people know what we're talking about, and we'll move on from
there. Okay, great. And the first attitude is called use inner wisdom. Now, I'm going to give you the opposite of each one of these two so your listeners can really understand it in perspective. The opposite of using inner wisdom is relying on everybody else's opinion.
Ah, okay.
What the media says, what the doctor says, what the magazines tell us, what the CEO tells us. Opposite of that is the sacred attitude of use inner wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is accept what's so. Meaning, what's here, what's right in front of me, what's now, what's true. And opposite of that, most of us are familiar with that unusual attitude, is deny it, reject it, push it away, and wish it weren't so.
Uh-huh. Okay.
attitude number three is go slow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the opposite of that, we all know. Go fast, go quickly, hurry up, get the report out tomorrow afternoon. And by the way, multitask and do 10 things at once.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much it means that attitude of go slow.
Mm-hmm.
And we can revisit that one if you want.
Yes.
Yeah, the fourth attitude is do less. And some people think the third and fourth attitude are the same, and in my mind, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
The do less attitude really is based on the law of least action, which is a Chinese medical principle. And the idea of do less is not that we should sit around on the couch and eat bonbons. I'm not saying that. But to do less of the unimportant things and to do more of the things that have higher leverage, the things that will really help us create the rich, meaningful lives we want. So the attitude is do less, meaning do less of what's unimportant.
Right, right.
The fifth attitude is show up. Now, show up. Choose to be present in body, mind, and spirit, as opposed to hiding out, waiting, thinking that your gift isn't good enough, thinking that maybe someday I'll. So there's a take action component to it, but it also involves a physical stance. And for me, and of all of us, it's different. There's a physical posture that I adopt when I am somewhere, whether it's a business meeting, at the movies, when I'm hiding out and feeling less than, I take a very different posture, especially through my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
When I show up, here I am,
mm-hmm.
present, full, body, mind, spirit.
Right.
So that's the fifth attitude. The sixth is trust the process. Now, some people say the process of what? I'm talking mm-hmm. about the process of life. And trusting it and trusting that what I've done, what I am doing is just fine, that I'm right on schedule, as author Angelus Arian is one of my favorite teachers, and she mentions looking in the mirror every morning and saying to yourself, I'm right on schedule,
mm-hmm.
which is just such a comforting thought.
Mm-hmm.
Trust the process as opposed to pushing things and in making sure that, insisting, if you will, making sure they go faster than they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the seventh attitude is be with the questions as opposed to insisting on the answers. Sometimes questions are like passports, my view. They take us to really rich and exciting places.
Mm-hmm.
That's the seventh attitude.
Wow. I really like the way you did that with the opposites. It certainly makes it clear what that point is about. Some things are challenging for people who are moving into this new way of thinking. And one of those is, you know, what does it mean to be present in the moment?
Yeah, that, you know, and somebody says, be here now. What does that mean?
Right.
Well, if you start, I have a four-step method I mention in the book. And the four steps are stop, breathe, notice, and choose. When I'm talking about choose, I mean which attitude you want to adopt. But
mm-hmm.
being present in the moment to me means that even in the midst of my busyness, even in the midst of getting a report out, even in the midst of racing to the grocery store or picking up my child or whatever it might be, that I'm attending to what's right in front of me, not thinking about the next thing. So, for example, right now I'm looking out the window, and I have a beautiful plant growing right outside my window. I'm fully attending to you
mm-hmm.
and this conversation. I'm not thinking about, gee, that plant needs water, right?
Right.
Or I can't wait till this afternoon when I you know, get to go for my swim. I'm right here with you right now. So being present in the moment, from my view, is also the show up attitude. It's showing up in this moment with this breath. And the breath is really the key to it, in my view.
Yeah, breath is really critical to it. And people are so need to learn the process of being present in the moment, because it is possible to be present in the moment.
Yep.
And it's really great when one discovers how to do that.
And I find that it's a practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not something that I'm going to learn and that's it overnight. It's a daily practice I commit myself to being in the moment, being with my breath, paying attention right here, right now.
So how is our life enriched when we're fully present in the moment?
Well, I just think that there's so much that more that becomes available to us that, you know, an example could be if your child falls and bangs her knee and scrapes it, and you're busy worrying about, you got to get a Band-Aid on it, slap it on it so you can run off to the next thing. It's just that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting the Band-Aid on that cut, on that knee, with that child who means the world to you.
Mm-hmm.
And just appreciating that simple thing. And life is a lot richer that way. And I gave you that example, but it's just as well in the boardroom. Like, my clients come from all over the world in all walks of life. And some of them are CEOs of corporations, and it's no different, right? I'm getting a report out. I'm rushing, and I didn't even pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
That, as silly as this one sounds, that I was sitting down present with another board member who means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we were engaged in that moment, and life was a lot richer because of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mindfulness, really.
Mm-hmm. Right, awareness, mindfulness. Well, that takes me to the subject of speed of life, which totally gets us away from mindfulness. Too little time for ourselves, working too long and too hard, no time for vacations. Talk to us about your perception of the speed of life issue.
You know, it's a funny thing. I'm sure you've been in conversations lately where the topic of conversation, whether it's at a party or a business dinner or something, and somebody says, life is just so quick these days.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I have to laugh at the words, largely because if we think about it, life itself is no faster than it's ever been. Life.
Right.
If we really get back to it and we say, all right, it takes a caterpillar the same amount of time that it did 40 years ago to create a cocoon and turn into a butterfly. The leaves outside my window will fall in the fall just like they did before. The crow that's flying overhead from that tree over there to that tree, his speed of flight is the same as it might have been last summer.
Mm-hmm.
So the very essence of life, and for me, when I anchor that into my being, my body, my breath has not changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my heartbeat might be a little more quick now that I'm on the radio with you this morning, but other than that, the pace of my breath, the movement of my breath, that hasn't changed. That's what life is. Now, the circumstances of life, the emails that are coming flooding through by the gazillion every minute, the mail that's coming in, the amount of activities that we have to choose from, maybe those are abound, and there are many of them. But we stop and get back to the actual speed of real life hasn't changed. So how do I sort of be in sync with both things at the same time?
Right.
And that's a practice, too.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a yoga teacher once a long time ago, and many of your listeners and you have probably heard this one, that the secret is, how do I find stillness in the midst of my movement, and how do I pay attention to the movement in the midst of my stillness? And I think that's really the key here.
Stillness is a fabulous word. Mm. It's, and I don't think that, you know, that's a whole philosophical discussion we could go off
sure.
into. We say everybody is so plugged in electronically now.
Yeah.
Children and adults plugged into iPods, and they have PDAs and computers, and I mean, everybody who's driving is talking on the telephone at the same time. How does it affect our experiencing the richness of the moment when we're plugged into all of those things?
I love those words, plugged into, and I think about it and I say to myself, Wouldn't it be lovely to wake up in the morning and ask yourself the question, what do I want to be plugged into? Well, I guess the correct grammar is, to what do I want to be plugged in?
Well,
what do I want to be plugged into today? And I'd rather be plugged into my own heart and my own breath as I go throughout my day. Now, that said, yes, we are plugged into many things, particularly electronic. I saw a kid the other day on a skateboard who simultaneously on the skateboard going down the hill had his cell phone in one hand, was yapping away to somebody, and had a Starbucks drink in the other. And I'm thinking to myself, now, the richness of the moment to me would be any one of those three activities, there could be so much more enjoyment. I mean, to thoroughly enjoy just the skateboard ride, to thoroughly enjoy his Starbucks drink, or to thoroughly enjoy his conversation with his friend. But it's absolutely physically, humanly impossible to enjoy all three at the same time to the same degree, right? I mean, you only have so many brain cells. So I just thought it was kind of comical. And I say to myself, I don't know that I really like the idea of this multitasking stuff. I think it rips us off from the deep appreciation that's possible by just focusing on one thing at a time.
Right. Well, there are actually studies showing now that multitasking slows us down as opposed to speeding us up.
Oh.
Instead of our accomplishing more, we actually accomplish less. And at this moment, I can't cite where I read that. It was like some Wall Street Journal article, but I can't cite the authority on it. But it was a study that showed that we actually accomplish less when we multitask than we do when we focus.
Well, there you go.
Not only do we accomplish less,
but we rip ourselves off from experiencing the richness of the moment.
Right. Yeah. So how do we get that richness back? You talk about, I can just guess what you're going to say here.
Tell me.
We've got three things going on here. You know, I guess it's more like, how do people choose, you know, getting into that really place where they're choosing what it is they want in their life?
Well, sometimes I think it's a matter of stepping back and maybe working with someone such as yourself or me, a coach, and really stating, you know, I want to live a more rich life. Sometimes it's picking up a book and saying, I really, you know, this is it. Life's too short. It's time now. And then the question becomes, how do you remember it day to day?
Right, right.
You know, how do I remember that I said I want to be plugged into my heart? Well, little reminders can really be helpful. I have little stickies all over the place that remind me to breathe. You can put one next to your mirror, and it can say something as simple as, go slow.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're brushing your teeth, instead of thinking about what you're going to do after you brush your teeth, try starting with that. It's a small thing, but the very first time you ever brushed your teeth in your entire life, I don't know when that was. What, were we 1 1/2, two?
Mm-hmm.
Two when we learned how to hold the toothbrush? Whatever. But there was a moment when we enjoyed the taste of the toothpaste and the movement of the bristles against our teeth and gums.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll bet you any money that anybody on the call, myself included here, when was the last time we stopped and enjoyed the taste of the toothpaste and the movement of the bristles on our teeth? You know, 9 times out of 10, we're brushing our teeth and thinking about the next thing.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Now, that can be an anchor for you. The next time any one of us brush our teeth, let's stop and just enjoy the pleasure of that. It doesn't mean you have to brush them any slower. It just means put your focus there for right now. Another little structure beside the stickies next to your bathroom mirror could be next to your computer screen, on the dashboard of your car, wherever you spend time. And maybe your anchor while you're driving is the next time you're at a red light, you're going to just stop and put your hand on your belly, one hand on the wheel, of course,
mm-hmm.
and notice your breath. I sell bracelets on my website that have the different 7 attitudes on them, and I wear one that says, go slow. And that's a good reminder for me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different
just
ways.
Little tricks.
Little tricks of the trade.
To play on ourselves or with ourselves.
Right.
So that we remember to break these old habits
mm-hmm.
and move into some new habits.
Mm-hmm.
We are really quickly approaching the end of the program. We have about 3 minutes left, just so you have a heads up on that. I just want to ask you, it really takes courage, I think, to to choose to slow down, to trust that going on this different path will really lead us to something better, more enriching, more fulfilling. So talk a little bit, just a little bit about the fulfillment that comes from slowing down.
Mm. Well, I also want to flag that some of the roots of the word courage in French, the cœur, the heart. So doing things takes courage in it, courage that's born of the heart.
Mm.
And the fulfillment that comes from slowing down, you know, something as simple as, you know, the next time you eat a meal and you put your fork down between bites, enjoy the food that's in your mouth and then report back and let us know,
right.
You know, how did the food taste? When
really
was the last time
like?
We took time to really just savor, and savoring every moment. Mm-hmm. And many of us know that just that life is too short, you know, and we need to make sure that this is all we have. All we have is this moment right here.
Absolutely. Well, in this moment, Erica,
yes.
Share with us how people can get your book or get in touch with you.
Well, thank you, Dorothy. The best place for people to go to buy my book is on my website, and that's pretty simple for people to remember beside the www.sacredattitudes.com. That's S like Sam, ACREDATTITUDES.com, sacredattitudes.com. That'll get you to my website. You can buy my book there, sign up for my free e-zine, a free teleclass where every month like-minded folks get together and talk about these attitudes in action.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best place for people to go.
And again, the name of your book?
7 Sacred Attitudes, How to Live in the Richness of the Moment.
We've been talking to Erica Ross Krieger about her wonderful book, small book, easy to read, but a ton of stuff in it that you could spend endless time delving into. I've read it and I've reread it and I just keep taking parts of it and pulling it apart and looking at it and seeing how it applies. It's really quite a pleasure to read. I want to leave you today with the same thing I always do. So where you are right now in your life is a reflection of how you think and how you behave. When your thoughts and actions are based on your values and clearly defined goals, you can create a great life. Are you living the life you want? You have a choice. To your health.
And they're off. There's Dad on the inside reaching for the TV.